It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. A couple of baseball games today for the Jefferson City Jays, scheduled to meet CBC at 10 o'clock, come back at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to meet Lee Summit West, and joining us is Jays head baseball coach Kyle Lasley. Coach, good morning.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Pretty good. Two games for you today. You're off to a good start.
Yeah, two big games for us. Two teams that have had a lot of success over the past years and well-coached. They'll come in here and we're going to have to compete to stay in the game. So looking forward to it.
You come into the baseball game, I believe, with a record of 7-1, won your first six games of the year.
Yeah, got out to a pretty good start. Really had a busy week last week, had seven games in 6 days. That last game of that championship, I think mentally and physically, we were pretty drained. Just as a team, we just weren't used to the grind yet. So, it's no excuse. We got right back to work on Monday with practice and then, had a good game on Tuesday against Cap City and, had a good couple days of practice now, and we're getting ready to head into a big weekend.
Only loss of the season so far to St. Francis Borgia by a score of 4-2. You also have a victory over the Blair Oaks Falcons, and that was a 3-2 final for you.
Yeah. I tell you what, their pitcher did a really good job. Kale, I would say in the seven games or the eight games we've played now, he's probably the best arm we've seen, and obviously that showed by no hitting us through, you know, five, six innings, and our only hit coming off of a bunt. So we got to, we had to clean some things up after that, just as far as, you know, being able to hit the breaking stuff and hitting stuff that's a little bit harder. But the guys did a really good job of making some adjustments over the last few days, and I think we'll be ready to go.
Last trip out, as you mentioned, you beat Capital City by a score of 11-1. I believe that was your opener as far as conference play was concerned, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, yes, it was. So it's always a good one to get that first one out of the way. However, I didn't like to see my good arm go out in the first inning, but hopefully he can kind of get back together here in the next few days. So we're going to keep them out today, and hopefully they'll be ready to go by next week.
Central Missouri Activities Conference, baseball conference, pretty good one, isn't it?
It is. Very tough conference. I was telling a few guys I was talking to a couple of days ago that it's, you know, it's just, I think every year it's going to be up for grabs. I don't think there's a dominant team. I think you just got really solid teams in there that compete really well at the highest level, and good pitching, good hitting, really good coaching in the conference. So it'll be a battle. It's going to be fun.
You know, a lot of baseball still has to be played before you get to the district, but Class 6 district that you're in has Blue Springs, Blue Springs South, Jefferson City, Sedalia Smith Cotton, Capital City, Helias, Rockbridge, and Waynesville. So a number of conference schools in the district. And I thought it was kind of interesting that, taking a look at the district, Rockbridge is in the district, but Hickman and Battle are in another district, and they're in Columbia.
Yeah, districts have kind of been all over the place the last few years. You never know which way you're going to go. You know, the last 2 years we got put down, with the Camdentons, the Rollas, the Waynesvilles, Lebanon. And now this year we got a couple Kansas City schools that are really, really good teams. They're off to really good starts as well. So yeah, the districts is going to look a little different. And the way they have it set up this year is basically, you have eight districts, and you almost have eight teams in each district, so you're going to have to win three games to win a district title. Mm-hmm. And instead of having a sectional game, you'll go straight to the quarterfinals.
Right.
So it's going to make things a lot tougher. Pitching will be much more important, having a group of arms. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
We'll talk about your schedule in just a moment. Tell me about your baseball team, first of all.
So we're led by 12 seniors. just a really good group of guys. They come every day, and they're great leaders on the field. You know, hitting-wise, you know, right now our top three guys with Jacob Retschin, Connor Earlywine, and Taylor Hopkins, they've been off to a really hot start. Pitching, I got three pretty good arms, two lefties, which when you have two lefties in a high school rotation, that's pretty good. So I feel very confident in our pitching. So as a team, you know, we're hitting, you know, right around the 350. Our ERA as a pitching staff is about 1.8. So if we can kind of keep those numbers where they're at and keep getting better in practice, it's a process. It's a long year. So we got to keep everybody healthy is probably the biggest thing. And then we'll see what happens.
With regards to your pitching staff, do you have a number one?
You know, I've said this before. I would say I have a 1A and a 1B. I got both my lefties. You know, Retschin, he's more of a, you know, hard thrower with decent command on his off-speed stuff. And then my other lefty is kind of the mid-80s guy, but has really good command of all his pitches, and both are really good competitors. And then Wyatt Fisher, he's our, you know, probably our right now our number three, and he can bring it up there mid to upper 80s. You know, his biggest problem lately has just been leaving balls up in the zone and not being able to control his off speed. So we've been working on it a lot. Like I said, we just got to keep grinding it out. Hoping that we can kind of get those details sorted out here as we move on.
You know, we always say you can never have too much pitching, but do you have depth at the pitching position?
Yeah, we got, you know, we can run out 6-7 guys that are all going to compete. Tanner Schmitz, Jacob Duke, Lucas Cottle. So we got guys that can throw. We just, like I keep saying, we got to keep these arms healthy. We got to keep everybody healthy because we've battled some issues here early, and let's just hope that doesn't continue.
You know, you weren't able to play last year due to the pandemic. Tell me what it was like to be out on the practice field the first time this year.
Well, the guys just came out the first week, the first 2 weeks really, and just were so energized and focused. They were just so ready to get out, you know, get back to work, and so was the coaching staff. So it was exciting to be out there again. Obviously, losing last year, it was pretty tough on these guys. And I think these 12 seniors kind of had a chip on their shoulder, and they're ready to, you know, get to work. So
you take a look at your roster, and it looks to me like you have a number of players that can play different positions for you. And that's always good, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we got some guys that can move around a little bit, which, you know, early with some injuries, we've had to make those changes. And guys that have probably played the position before, but haven't played it enough. So practice-wise, getting those guys reps in those positions been huge. But yeah, we definitely have some guys that can move around a little bit, which is really good.
Tell me about your offense, and do you have speed in the lineup?
I would say our biggest threat offensively is our speed on the bases and being able to run the bases. We have put a lot of pressure on teams, and I think that's kind of been one of our goals going into the year, is just see if we can score first and put the pressure on the other team. And I would say in 7 of the 8 games we've played, we have done that. And so, you know, we're going to, if we get guys on, we got some speed at the top of the lineup and at the bottom of the lineup. So if we can get guys on, I like our chances.
Defense, you feel like you're a good defensive baseball team?
Yeah. You know, after losing our shortstop after the first game of the year, we talked about those changes. We had to make some changes within the infield, and I feel very confident right now with our infield and outfield. We just you know, if we get pitchers just to keep balls and play, I think we're going to, you know, make the routine plays and we'll go from there. So.
I would imagine with 12 seniors on the baseball team, it's a pretty business-like atmosphere when you come to practice, huh?
Very business-like, yes. Usually, that's probably the best thing about my job right now is if something goes wrong in practice, it's not usually me having to get on to somebody or to get on them. It's usually the senior stepping up and saying something. So it's very easy as a coach when you got guys that are good leaders, high-character kids who can go out there and basically manage the team themselves. And it just it makes things a lot easier for a coaching staff.
Let's get back to your schedule real quick. And next week you host a tournament.
Yeah, got a tournament next week, the Jay Baseball Classic. We'll play. It'll be, look a little bit different this year. We'll play actually two games on Thursday. Friday we'll be off, and then we'll come back Saturday and play two games. So a couple different teams this year. On our side, you got Eureka, who's been at the last few years, and then you got Pembroke Hill, who's always been a really solid baseball program, and then Gateway Legacy is coming in. They're kind of a newer program, but from what I've seen, some of their scores and who they're playing, they've been pretty competitive in most of their games. And then on the other side, you got Lutheran St. Charles, who's been back now for 3 years, 4 years in a row. Obviously, Helias. And then Blair Oaks, who's obviously been in it. And I am drawing a blank on the other team.
But your format, as you mentioned, two on Thursday and then two on Saturday, no games on Friday. That gives teams an opportunity to come in, compete, then go back, be in school on Friday, then come back and play two games on Saturday.
Yeah, we scheduled that because, you know, we just wanted the teams a chance. You know, the teams coming in from St. Louis, Kansas City area, they, you know, usually they stay overnight.
Right.
And it gives them a chance to go back home and be able to travel the next day and, you know, with all the restrictions and stuff like that. So we figured that'd be the best way to do it.
Two games today, CBC at 10, 2 o'clock you'll take on Lee Summit West. A quick scouting report on those two teams.
CBC, they're solid all around. They can pitch it. They got multiple arms. They got, a few D1 guys. And they're going to be tough. They're competitive every year, and you know, at least Summit West is kind of the same way. They play, both teams play really tough schedules. You know, they jump out of the gate and play some of the top teams in Missouri, and it stays like that for the rest of the year for them. So things don't get easier for them, but they find a way to get it done, and they grind it out. And you know, we're gonna have to play our best baseball to beat both of those teams. So it should be a fun day, you know, and excited to get out there and get it rolling.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck today.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Jefferson City Jays head baseball coach Kyle Lashley. Again, 10 o'clock against CBC here in Jefferson City. They'll come back and meet Lee Summit West at 2 o'clock. It's the Coaches Show right here on KWOS.
What if I told you there was a way to step into another gear for your brain and be much sharper, more focused, and improve your memory to a level that you could only dream about and notice these results in 30 minutes? Hard to believe? Neuroscientists are calling this new brain discovery the biggest advancement in brain science to date. It's called Limitless, the brain pill of the future. Take it, and within 30 minutes, you'll transport your mind to a new level of focus and clarity you would have never thought possible.
I took Limitless, and it started working in minutes. All of a sudden, it felt like a dark cloud had been lifted up right before my eyes. I have a mental clarity I've never felt before.
Biz execs, athletes, teachers, and students are calling Limitless a secret weapon for the brain. You have nothing to lose, so call now and find out how to get a free bottle today.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Limitless, call 800-680-9416. That's 800-680-9416. Free bottles for a limited time. Call now, 800-680-9416, 800-680-9416.
I've learned that I have grandma's eyes and nose. I've learned that dad is built just like grandpa. But I've also learned that we have a history of heart disease in our family. which means that my mom and dad should go to the Missouri Heart Center and get screened for risk factors in early stages of heart disease. Luckily, the Missouri Heart Center has a history of repairing hearts and repairing families, so you don't miss a beat. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri, moheartcenter.com.
This is Caitlin Claspel, fourth generation with Vintage Homes. Our business is known for building beautiful custom-made homes, but it was built on having a great team. We have been fortunate to not have to hire often, but right now we are growing our team and would love for you or someone you know to join us. Our qualifications are simple. We are looking for great people who are willing to work hard. In return, we promise to appreciate and value your hard work with a great career. Your dream career begins with Vintage. Visit VintageHomes.com for more information.
Fruit snacks for the kids, beef jerky for dad, and trail mix for mom. It's up to you to keep your passengers happy, but it's up to Big O to keep them safe. So make sure Big O Tires is your first stop before you fire up the family truckster this spring. Get up to $150 off select sets of tires with $100 instant savings plus an additional $50 off with Big O financing. Big O Tires, the team you trust almost as much as you trust your kids to need a bathroom break every 10 miles. Schedule an appointment at BigOtires.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
We say welcome back to the Coaches Show. Football coach Tim Rulo. Good morning, coach.
Good morning. Good morning.
You are the new football coach for the Russellville Indians.
Yeah. I'm excited about the opportunity there.
All right. You come from 3 years up at Chillicothe. Of course, you were at South Callaway and at Helias before you went up to Chillicothe with the Hornets. Had a very good year in 2019. You went 9-3.
Yeah, no. My time in Chillicothe was really good. Really enjoyed that there. And in 2019, we had a good season. got a chance to play for a district title, which is something you always hope to be able to do. Kind of one of those benchmarks you have, and so it was a good time. But it was time to come back to Mid Missouri and try to split the difference between our two families. Or my wife's from Kansas City, and my parents still live in South St. Louis, and Chillicothe was pretty far away from my folks. And you learn a lot in 2020, right? Just the COVID and everything. And just with some of my dad's health concerns, I just realized I wanted to be able to see them more, wanted him to be able to see my kiddos more. And so just knew it was time to make that move and get back in the middle of the state where we could be, you know, basically 2 hours from each of them. So excited about the opportunities at Russellville.
And it's a very new program. Its first varsity football season was last year.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And again, you know, Coach Van de Zandt has been there the last 2 years, and then Coach Stuckey actually was the gentleman who started the program 3 years ago. So right now, you know, just they building on the things that they've done. You know, those guys have done great jobs there, and they're doing great things in the weight room. And, you know, again, Russellville has a great history of just athletics and taking care of great things there, especially right now baseball is doing really, really well. Their track program, Coach Loveless has done a great job with that also. So now just building on top of that, you know, and just using that to kind of springboard into what we want to be able to accomplish come this fall.
You know, we've talked with you about this before, but success starts during the off season, doesn't it?
It definitely does. You know, and again, just excited these guys are playing multiple sports. I mean, I think that's the first big thing, you know, to especially anywhere in my mind in high school, but especially at Russellville, we want to make sure those guys are playing as many sports as possible. We want to be supportive of that. And, you know, just then during the summer, allowing those guys to play those sports as well, but also start building the foundation of the weightlifting and the weight room to just help strengthen their bodies and make sure that we reduce injuries there, but then also start implementing the things we want to do on the football field. So excited for the summer. You know, it's going to be great. And honestly, after 2020, which was a very unusual year in general, but especially in football too, just excited for the opportunities that are there. You know, and just for this time in Russellville this summer.
You know, it's kind of an interesting situation for you as you come in March and there is time before the start of the football season, but it's also a situation, too, where when you become the new head coach, you want to really get started and have the season start early, but you still have that opportunity to get everything ready to go. It's kind of a unique situation, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I'm still finishing up at Chillicothe. You know, I wish I could be down here full time, but you know, I've been able to come down and take some personal days and just kind of observe what they're doing in the weight room. I've been able to catch some track meets and some baseball games, and that's been great. And I'll continue to do that through the rest of the spring, and you know, Lord willing, we have Russellville does a great job and can, you know, be district champs in baseball and continue going on from there and can have a lot of athletes go on to state track. But eventually, you know, those seasons will come to an end, and we want to make sure to be ready to go and hit the ground running when those seasons do, so we can do the things we want to do in the weight room. And again, not just for football, but for all the sports, just to help develop those guys there. And then also then finally when football camp rolls around, we can start getting things going there.
As you are well aware, football Friday nights are pretty special, aren't they?
They are. And I think, you know, one of the things, and again, it is all over the state of Missouri, but Cole County has great football, you know, and I think that's the thing that I'm excited that Russellville gets an opportunity to join that, right? Because, again, just the football in Cole County is exciting. And, you know, for the multiple state champion teams even this year, you know, it's just it's exciting to be back a part of that and just, again, to hopefully allow Russellville to make its niche into that as well. Because, again, it's definitely an awesome community. It's deserving of those great experiences on Friday nights and just what football and a positive football season can do for a school year and for a community. And, you know, Lord willing, we'll be able to do those things.
Why is Russellville a good fit for Tim Rulo?
Oh, gosh, man. Okay. So got to get my interview hat on for that one, Kevin. That's a good question. I would like to think that the biggest reason is because it's a place that desires to, I know this. In talking with Mr. Gorel, the superintendent, talking to Mr. Volkart, the principal, definitely they made it abundantly clear that, and, you know, they care about football. They want to develop their football program, but they also wanted to make sure to develop quality young men and really had a focus on just this understanding of the program being very holistic and impacting kids both on and off the field. When they said those kind of things, that spoke to my heart because that's something I'm very passionate about. And the people know me will know that because, again, man, football is great, and I love coaching football. But I also, man, football is just a tool to impact kids' lives, right? And the memories and the lessons we learn from football and what we'll take on, you know, 15, 20, 30 years from after we're done playing is those awesome lessons that we learned from the sport. So, you know, again, I think Russellville and I will be a great fit simply because I think the understanding from the administration is what they desire from that program. And I'm really excited because it is pretty new. It's very moldable, right? So it's something we can develop in a way that will, I think, make the community proud and make kids get excited and also, Lord willing, really make an impact in their life long after they're done playing football.
Coach, welcome back to Mid-Missouri, and we will have you on from time to time on the Coach's Show this fall, getting up to date on the Russellville Indians football team.
That'd be great. We'd love to have it. Thanks, Kevin.
Coach, have a good weekend.
You too. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Russellville Indians head football coach Tim Rulo on the Coach's Show. Quickly, NCAA Women's Tournament semifinals last night. Stanford over South Carolina, 66-65. Arizona beat UConn, 69-59. The NCAA Women's Tournament Championship game, Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's the men's semifinals today in the NCAA tournament. Gonzaga meets UCLA. UCLA, the number 11 seed in their region, takes on number 1 seed Gonzaga at 7:30 tonight. And then in the other semifinal, number 1 Baylor meets number 2 Houston at 4 o'clock. Monday at 8 o'clock is the tip-off for the NCAA Tournament Championship game. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show right here on KWOS.
The Mike Ferguson Show.
That's what Black Lives Matter is, trying to change. She just need to bring people
Black
together.
Lives Matter is a Marxist-based organization.
Well, in your opinion, that's so.
No, in the statement from the actual founders of website. Black Lives Matter, they have acknowledged that they are trained Marxists and that's a Marxist movement. That's not my words. Those are their words.
Okay, but you guys use Marxism as some kind of bad thing. It's not necessarily.
Yes.
Not necessarily,
yes, I do.
Okay.
The Mike Ferguson Show. Afternoons 4 to 6 on KWOS.
Hello, Edie Vogel, running for Jefferson City Council, Ward 2. Upcoming election, April 6th. I believe in fair, firm, consistent governance of the city of Jefferson. I was born and raised and lived here in Jefferson City my entire life. I believe in traditional, conservative values that Jefferson City is noted for. If you believe in the future, like I do, in Jefferson City, please vote for me, Edie Vogel, on April the 6th. Be a patriot.
Paid for by Vogel for Council. Rose Mingwazer, Treasurer.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
He's the longtime voice of the Missouri Tiger baseball team. Joining us this morning is Tex Little from Columbia. Define longtime voice of the Missouri Tigers.
3 years starting when I was 18.
You've been doing it quite a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I think this is my 31st year, if anybody can count. And that's, of course, if you count last year's truncated season.
Let's talk about that from the standpoint of this year. Has it been different as far as doing games? Tell us a little bit about how you prepare as far as road games are concerned, people in the stands, those types of things.
You know, for one, it's great to see people in the stands. Granted, it's not the crowds that you're accustomed to because of the restrictions with COVID-19. But it has been a strange year, Kevin. It's been really because for 30 years, we always traveled with the team, embedded with the team. If the team left Columbia at 6:30 in the morning, which it usually does when it flies commercially, which it always does, you're every step of the way with the team, and you never get away from them, and you hang in there with them at the hotels and all that type of thing. But this year's been different. We've been traveling separately. We haven't been permitted to be on the bus. And because they fly commercial, we are allowed to be on the same flights, and we have been enjoying the luxury of being at the same hotels, but the rooming's been a little different as well. And at first, when the season did start back in February, we were very much restricted on how much we could be around the team when it came to being at the ballpark, mm-hmm. where some facilities we couldn't get on the field before the game. And we actually did, you know, my pregame interview with Coach Beezer, for instance, is always pre-recorded, and because it's so close to the first pitch and things like that. TV out of their way, you know, you get it done, you know how that works. And we actually did that remotely for a while with wireless equipment where the coach would be on the field and we'd be upstairs and do the interview that way. So it's been different, and things have kind of loosened up a little bit as we go. I've had both of my vaccinations, so in fact on Tuesday I would be clear to be back with the team full time, but mm-hmm. We're still kind of waiting all that out, but it has relaxed quite a bit. But I will say that talking about feeling like a little more normalcy, you know, with the chances of people being in the crowds, it's really been nice. Last night, you know, the Tigers were able to pull out the win, and it was you know, there was a rumble at the ballpark again, and it was really, really nice.
Tex, when you take a look at what you were talking about with regards to the travel and so forth, does it change then how you cover the team? It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You almost, in a way, it's kind of, I don't want to say refreshing, but you see things from maybe a little bit of a different angle because you're pulled back just a bit. But that being said, not really. I mean, because, you know, we're creatures of habit. We're going to try to do what we've always done when it comes to getting the information that we're looking for. And you know, you're going to get in there and find different ways to get the information. And it's not like we're investigative reporters, but we're just trying to report what's taking place and why this happened or why that happened. But I think the thing that's been missed because of the lack of access, and I say this going back to the first couple road trips, it has warmed up. I mean, things have loosened up. But you don't have the opportunity to mingle with the players as much. And that, to me, it's really amazing, you know, 31 years of doing this, and you realize that's one of your favorite parts of the job,
mm-hmm.
mingling with the players and getting their thoughts and finding out where their head is, what they're thinking about different things.
One last night, as you mentioned, as they beat Texas A&M by a score of 8-2, took a look at that, a good lead when they got the 3-run fourth inning to end up winning the ball game 8-2, and Helias Crusader, former Helias Crusader, gets a home run last night in the ball game.
You know, Trevor Austin went deep, and he squared it up and drove the ball. The wind was pushing the ball out a little bit last night, but he hit it good enough. I don't think there's any doubt of what had gone out on just about any other day, but it was a lift because the Tigers got a home run from their second baseman, Mark Buehrling, who's a veteran, a fourth-year player, in the top of the first, or rather bottom of the first inning, after the Tigers got a good pitch in the top of the first, and we were up 1-0, and then we turn around in the third inning, and a walk, and then a two-run, I would consider, this sounds biased here, but a wind-blown home run hit by a guy named Frizzell for our Texas A&M that went right down the left field line and took the paint off the back of the fence of the bullpen. And it got it out. If the ball got out, and it was a 2-1 lead for A&M. And you sit here and you go, oh boy, here we go again, you know. And Trevor came up and hit a leadoff home run in the bottom of the third to tie the game. And right then, you felt like it's going to be different tonight. The Tigers are going to compete, and it was great to see Trevor drive the ball the way he did. He had his first SEC hit on Thursday night, and. You know, for a freshman to jump in and play at the level of baseball that's played in the SEC is really amazing. And Trevor has been forced to play like some other pitchers that the Tigers have been using because of different reasons. It's been a strange year, but it was really good to see. You know, they got great hopes for Trevor down the road. You know, right now he's the everyday shortstop because of an injury. And, it's a golden opportunity for him. I mean, talk about, and I talked to Coach Beezer about this last night a little bit, but baptism by fire is what this club's receiving right now. And it's been tough. I mean, you know, Missouri's not accustomed to having a team ERA of 7.1 or 7.4 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Tigers haven't won a lot of national championships, but one thing they have had is pitching over the years, and it's been a struggle this year.
You know, heading into the game last night against Texas A&M, team was going through a tough stretch. I think they'd lost 7 of their last 8 games.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, we lost our starting shortstop due to an injury, a guy named Josh Day, who's probably going to be drafted. You know, he's that type of an athlete that has tremendous range and has been kind of through the mill. He's got a couple years of JUCO baseball behind him, and you can see that, you know, he's a step or two ahead of a lot of the other guys, especially the young kids. But we've lost him. You know, last night we got the game closed out by a guy named Connor Ash, who was expected to be in the weekend rotation as a starting pitcher. And the end of January, he pulled up lame with his arm and had to sit out. That was just his third outing this year, and they're all out of the bullpen. And you expect him to grab, you know, at least 6, 7, 8 innings every weekend, and he's not been available. And he's the only Tiger that has any notable experience pitching in the SEC. He has something like 50 innings of experience coming in, and you combine everybody else, and you're looking at about 10. And that kind of gives you an idea of where the club is. And, you know, some of it is just circumstantial. Some of it you can blame on COVID-19 because of the fact we didn't play any conference games last year. And just as we were ready to go into the conference season, we were shut down. In fact, on the trip to the first, you know, conference venue, and we had a bunch of guys that were going to break in, a bunch of guys they were excited about, including Spencer Miles, who started on Thursday. And, of course, the year before, he was going to be the Sunday starter. Within the conference, didn't get to pitch any of that action because of the season being shut down. And it just kind of runs through the whole roster with stories like that. And when I said it, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, it was less than 10 innings that was accumulated by everybody else after you got Ash out of there, who didn't start the season, you know, in uniform and not able to play. And it's been tough, you know, and some of it has been shortcomings by some of the guys that you thought you could lean on that had a little more experience, but when you break down their numbers, you find out they, too, have not seen that much action when you're in the heat of the battle.
You know, one number that I thought really stood out as I took a look at some of the numbers for the season last night, big difference between drawing walks and giving up walks thus far in the season. I think Missouri has received or worked 119 walks going into the game last night, while the pitching staff has given up 174.
You know, there for a while, I was kind of in the back of my mind keeping numbers on how many runs would score by the opponent, how many runs the opponents would score, where the run was set up with what we call freebies, walks or hit batsmen, or an error, you know, where you don't make the play. And it was phenomenal. It was like almost 75% of the runs we were allowing were being set up by freebies. Walks in general was the biggest thing. But you're right. It's it's probably the biggest stat that's been flip-flopped on Missouri's club this year. And every time you think you've got somebody that's started finding it, you know, find a rhythm, find the strike zone, and get that stat turned around, you know, then they just revert right back to it. And it's been frustrating. And what's really weird about the whole thing is, you know, you'll see a guy here and a guy there over a year or two, or maybe even two or three guys, where they have that situation where they can't throw strikes, they can't locate. And that's not, you're hitting the nail on the head, Kev, talking about the walks, but that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. The other part of it is, if you can't hit your spots, that means you're also throwing strikes down the middle of the plate.
Right.
And these hitters are too good to be throwing pitches down the middle of the plate when the hitter is ahead in the count. And they call that the hitters hitting cripples. Well, good hitters hit cripples. That's what they set on. And, you know, it kind of really snowballs. But that has been the big issue. And, you know, 31 years, I can't recall a team that has fought it as bad as this one has up and down the entire, you know, pitching roster. It's been phenomenal. It really has.
I want to spend a moment with you. Talk to me about Vanderbilt. They were in last weekend. This is a very good baseball team, aren't they?
They are. That whole program is remarkable. You know, they've won two national championships within the last 7 or 8 years. They've been in the national championship series, meaning going to Omaha and being one of the final two teams to play. You know, it's two out of three in the championship series. They've been in that thing, I think, four times. And they do it with pitching. They start on the mound, and right now they have got two guys that will be first-round picks. Probably the scouts were talking last week when they were in town that they will probably be not only the first, but the first and the second player taken in the Major League draft this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a string of guys like that. It's phenomenal. You know, these two guys, one of them is Kumar Rocker, who's a junior. His dad's actually a professional football coach. He's with the Eagles now, but he was with the Washington Redskins. And actually, when I think the young man was growing up, he was an assistant at Georgia. But out of high school, if he'd have said, yeah, I'm going to sign a pro contract, he'd have been a first-round pick. And he knew that, but he turned down that money to go to school and to go to Vanderbilt and pitch for the Commodores. Well, now Jack Leiter is in the same boat. He is a redshirt freshman. But he is draft eligible this year, but he is going to be a first-round pick. He's the son of Al Leiter, a longtime major leaguer
right. That's
beaten every major league team out there, which is a remarkable stat as well. When you think about it, he's beaten all 30 teams this kid's dad has.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid's got the same mentality. He's phenomenal. He's a right-hander. They're focused. They're well above their years, and they throw strikes. And then you get beyond those guys. And, of course, you know, in a three-game weekend series, you get 7-8 innings each night from each one of those guys. You know, there's not much left, and they can patch it together with some other fellas. But they got other guys that are going to be in the top five rounds that are sitting there in the background that are waiting for their opportunities. And they have just been phenomenal. And what they really emphasize is playing team baseball. And they don't look for guys that are going to drive the ball, you know, 500 feet every fifth time they come to the plate. They look for guys that are going to put the ball in play every time they come to the plate, and they put pressure on the opposition. They use the speed, the running game. Defensively, they played, you know, such clean baseball, you felt like you didn't have a chance unless you could string together clean hit after hit after hit. And they're just playing the game at the ultimate level right now. And I can't see how they can maintain it. You know, they are humans. But with that being said, they've raised the bar so high that they expect to go out there and play like that. And they've been doing it for years. And they're really interesting and fun to watch. And a lot of people say, that's kind of boring. I go, they're winning 40-some games every year, you know, and it's really the proof's in the pudding on what they've done when it comes to winning games.
Texas A&M, final game of the series, I believe, is this afternoon. They won on Thursday night. Missouri won last night. When does your broadcast start today?
We start today a pregame show at 2:45, and then the first pitch at 3 o'clock. Should be a good game. We've got a freshman starting, a kid named Zach Hayes, and he's the one that kind of got the spot when Connor Ash couldn't go on the weekend. Kind of earned it. He's out of Illinois. He's about 6'5" and goes 210 or so. A lot of room to throw out, but he throws in the mid-90s. But his breaking ball's been his good pitch, and he's really been fun to watch. But he has had some freshmanitis. You know, he might strike out three, but he might walk the next two. But his stuff has been really, really good. And when he gets it in the zone, when he hits his spots, and he's able to overcome sometimes some of his adversity. So should be a good matchup. And A&M comes back with a kid named Chris Weber. That name sounds familiar, doesn't it? But this one's a baseball player, and he's a veteran that's been around. And it's amazing, you know, I talk about Missouri being young, and now they're a little banged up with some injuries. But most of these college teams, and this is really an interesting fact, most of them are veteran-based teams now because everybody got another year back. You combine that with the fact that there were only five rounds of the major league draft. A lot of the kids came back that, you know, would have been drafted in the 20th round or the 30th round. Came back and, you know, tried to up their draft status, you know, with another year of college. So all of the teams that you see, it seems like almost all of them, are really veteran clubs that have a lot of kids that are 20, 21, some of them mean 22. We got a 24-year-old kid that's thrown out of bullpen that are veteran teams that you're up against. And A&M is a veteran club. So, you know, it'll be another challenge today. But that's been part of this COVID thing where, you know, just like basketball players, everybody, you know, NCAA, they're all getting, you know, an extra year, and it's stockpiling baseball players right now. And I think it's good for the game, but at the same time, if you don't have a stockpile of those guys, it's tough sledding.
Always great to talk to you, my friend. Have a great broadcast today. We'll talk to you soon.
It's enjoyable, Kevin. I always enjoy it myself, and hope to see you down the road here shortly.
I'm Department of Public Safety Director Sandy Karsten. In Missouri, we care about victims of crime. We support Missouri victims and their families, domestic violence shelters, victim advocates, and now we've launched Missouri's Protection Program for victims and witnesses of violent crime. Join us for the Missouri Crime Victim Rights Ceremony on April 22nd at the Capitol. For details, go to dps.mo.gov.
This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Public Safety.
This is Phil Freeman. When I think about this year being 60 years in business for Freeman Mortuary, the word that comes to mind is proud. How proud I am to be a part of the Jefferson City community. How proud my father would be to see a third generation of the Freeman family operating our business. Funerals have changed a lot over the years, but what hasn't changed is our compassion and commitment to serving our families.
For three generations, creating meaningful ceremonies as unique as your loved one since 1961. FreemanMortuary.com.
2021, in an almost submerged mid-Missouri, as citizens struggle to stay afloat, a horrible plan is hatched by the elusive Hailboy to destroy what remains of already ravaged roofs. Meanwhile, deep in the heart of Hailboy's headquarters.
This isn't hailstorm to behold. Shingles will be shattered, rooftops to be ravaged.
Hold that thought, Hailboy. A secretive silhouette has emerged from the shadows. It looks like the Gray Panther! Always on the prowl in search of rooftops and siding in need of repair and replacement. Hail Boy has been had. Rooftops rejoice.
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. If you notice cracks or fading in your siding, you may need your roof inspected as well. But don't worry. If you've been hammered by Sergeant Storm's henchman, a.k.a. Hail Boy, send us a signal at HodgesMo.com or call 573-ROOFING.
Protecting patrons and installing high-quality, reliable roofing systems since 1976. HodgesMo.com.
With Steve, all I have to do is call.
I tell him the problem, he takes care of it. That's the way I like it. A good player that can put it in the basket.
This is Coach Norm Stewart, so you should probably listen to what he has to say about Steve's pest control.
I've been with Steve several years now, and it's just become such a convenience that I just pick up, call, or usually I don't have to call. They come by and check for me, and they do that with everybody, although everybody thinks they're getting special treatment. That's what everybody wants. It's a matter of service, and Steve sets all that up and takes care of it. And he's done that and built the business to now where he's a very dependable person, and he has the good service. Usually the guy that works the hardest has a little reward at the end. And that's the way it is with Steve.
This is Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problems. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays Activities Director Chad Reisner, who will be stepping down as the Activities Director at the end of the school year. First of all, we wanted to have you on to tell you how much we appreciated working with you throughout the years that you've been the Activities Director at Jefferson City High School, keeping us up to date as far as the scheduling is concerned and taking care of us as far as broadcasting is concerned. So thank you very much, Chad.
You're welcome. I appreciate all the work that you do to help our kids and our coaches and promote everything we do at the high school. We surely appreciate it.
What did you take away from the experience?
I guess the first thing fresh on the mind is to not be the AD during a pandemic. That was, and I think a lot of people's jobs would be that way. This year it's been tough. The biggest thing is that it was neat being part of lots of different programs and lots of different coaches and see the different ways that coaches approach things and they're all trying to reach the same goals of having success on the court or the field and help kids and help them mature and grow but they all approach it a little bit differently, and so it was neat to be around that and see all those different programs.
You know, a lot of things happened in a short period of time for you. First of all, while you were Activities Director, second high school in Jefferson City came on board in Capital City, and then you talked about, as you mentioned just a few moments ago, the pandemic.
Right. Yeah, it's been an interesting 4 years as far, being an AD is a busy job anyway, and then you add $50 million of renovations they did to our building and with that comes different parts being open and closed and access to the facilities that you always had. When they were working on them, some parts of the building were closed, so we had to negotiate that. And then, the opening of Capital City and the movement of the staff and the coaches that went to Capital City that were coaching at Jeff City and managing that. And then, like you said, the pandemic this year, and then just the icing on the cake, you throw a tornado in the middle of it, and that was, it's just another weird thing that happened. But it was a good experience for me, and I was glad. I think I was the right guy for the job during all of that, and now it's time for Coach Wells to take over, and he's going to do great things, I'm sure.
There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work as far as an activities director is concerned, isn't there?
There is. That's when you talk about the last year and the changes that we've made because of the pandemic. When you think about, you just need to move that game, instead of tonight, we'll do it tomorrow night or whatever. And that's really simple to say, but the different parts of it, if it's an away game, there's a certain list of things that have to change. And if it's a home game, that list is longer. And, that's definitely a challenge and part of the job.
What are your plans next year?
I am going to stay at JC. I'm going to go back and teach social studies and government sociology and U.S. history and get back in the classroom and get back connected with the kids, which I'm excited about. The one drawback that you always hear of somebody that goes from the classroom to administration is they kind of lose connection with the kids, and I certainly have experienced that. So it'll be great to be back around the students and to get to work with them.
Would you like to get back into the activities director position type of work in the future? Is that something you might consider?
Yeah, I probably not. I'm on the downhill slide of my career. I don't have too many more years left, and I can retire. And so, probably at this point, I'll just finish up in the classroom and move into retirement and on to other things.
One other quick question. Has it been easier? I know the pandemic aside, has it been easier to schedule now that you're in a conference?
I think that with the conference, all of those are set. You don't have to worry about them. And I think that helps. And because even before, when we weren't in the conference, every game was maybe, maybe not. And even though, you know, Hickman and Rockbridge and Elias and those schools all always were on the schedule, you had to kind of work them in and find places. So it does help. It does help.
Chad, thank you so much, not only being on the show this morning, but everything that you've done for us in the last couple of years as far as us being able to do some broadcasting.
You bet. You bet. And like I said, I really, really appreciate the job that you do. You're top-notch, first class. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Jefferson City Jays Activities Director Chad Reisner. We're back next week on The Coaches Show. See you then.